2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. This is the words of the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And this is what he has to say to them. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear to our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every our side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Though through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, and so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And so as we read this, I don't know what kind of like tone this invokes or what it kind of stirs up into you. But as we think about this great power, and we think about our lives, like what is this great power that he's talking about? That he's referring to himself. He's referring to the Corinthian church as these jars of clay, fragile jars of clay. And you think about a clay pot, a jar, a glass, a coffee mug. What happens if we were to knock it down? It would shatter, it would crack, it would break. And so often we look at ourselves, and maybe this morning you came in here with some things that you've dealt with, maybe in the past, maybe you're going through right now, or maybe you're even, praise the Lord, you're on the other side of that, that the Holy Spirit has guided you through that. But whatever that may be, that we sometimes look at ourselves in our day-to-day lives as that we live these lives that were these fragile jars of clay. And when we've gone through all these different things, that we see ourselves as ordinary people. But with the gospel of Jesus, Christ is in you, that we have this great power, that when we face troubles and when we feel crushed, that we can overcome these things, not in our own strength, but by the power of God, by the grace of God. And so as we do that, I don't know what you come in here this morning. I don't know what your week was like. I had a crazy week. But there's times where I feel crushed. Yes, even as a pastor. You're a professional Christian. No, I'm not. But here's the thing. Like, we go through bad weeks. We go through tough times, don't we? If you look at our country right now, you look around the world, there's war, there's all kinds of different things going on. And we see it doesn't look like things are in control right now. It doesn't look like things are good. And I'm not trying to be like a negative person. Like, I'm not looking at like a negative side of things. But when I see this, we look all around and say, how can I compete? How can I continue to go through the things I'm going through? And so as we think about what it means to be crushed, what it means to be crushed, I just wanted to, what does crushed mean to you when we think about that word? And I love Paul that he was going to the Corinthian church and he was saying, this is what I have gone through. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, that he went through a lot of turmoil. He went through a lot of problems, a lot of trauma, a lot of different things in his life. And many of us, when we look at our exam in our own lives, when we look at our resume, we go, wow, I have also been through a lot of stuff. But the difference that we see in Paul, and the difference that we see in other people that know Jesus, right, is that they're able to continue to push through. Because they know they're weak. They know they don't have the strength. They know that it's God who has the power. He's the one with the power. It's the Holy Spirit who has the power. But it's only when we recognize that we're broken we can truly continue to move forward in our faith. And so when we ask that question, what does it mean to be crushed? Don't raise your hand. But I know many of us this morning probably are going through some tough times. Maybe you're going through some stuff right now that you feel crushed. Did you hear those words? Pressed on every side. Pressed when circumstances rub us the wrong way. It gets under our skin. Makes us feel confined. You ever have an MRI, one of those tubes, that confined, you know? That's how I feel pressed. I remember getting an MRI, it's an MRI. The MRI, is that what it is? I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm so excited today. There's so many things I want to say. But when you're in that tube and you feel crushed, you feel like this is caving in on you. It's tough to move. And so that's what it feels like. Sometimes life circumstances close in on you. Or when you're driving on 79, those barriers, right? It's just narrow, confined, restricted spots. And sometimes life closes in on you and makes you feel that way. You go through these tough times that we're pressed in on every side. But Paul says, even though you may feel that way, you're not crushed. You're not crushed. He says this. What does it mean to be crushed? It means to be pressed in or cramped or restrained or closed in. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul states that it was God's grace that kept him in difficult circumstances from such things that he went through. When you reflect back on the things you went through in your life that were difficult, what kept you? What was it that got you through those difficult things? What kept you from feeling crushed or actually being crushed? And I would argue this, if you know the Lord Jesus, it was his grace. It was his grace that kept you. It was the grace that was there when nothing made sense that sustained you to keep moving forward, that I'm going to take a step of faith and live anyway. And so when we think about that, Paul demonstrated this time and time again. I do a deep dive on Paul. Go ahead and look at his pain resume. Look what he went through compared to what you've gone through, right? Each one of us has gone through stuff. Each one of us has gone through difficulties. Nobody here has it all together. I hope you know that. That's what the church is for people that don't have it all together. And so Paul was writing to this beloved church that he planted, and he's saying to them, it's by the grace of God that sustained me. It's by the grace of God that's going to sustain you, church, back in Corinth. But here's the thing. He's saying to us today, God is saying that what you're going through right now, it is his grace that is going to sustain you through what you're going through. So if you feel crushed, and many of us do, I want you not to look at the crushing, but I want you to look at the one who's polishing and shaping and sustaining you and protecting you from being taken under. And so maybe we find ourselves today in those narrow spots. But here's the thing, I want to encourage you. I really do. I want to encourage you today that as we think about what it means to be crushed, that there is hope. There's a life that we can live, even in the face of medical diagnosis, even in the face of betrayal or abandonment, even in the face of a divorce, or maybe your kids aren't walking with the Lord. Maybe that's it. But there's hope. There's hope for us. And that's what Paul was trying to remind them. That's what we're trying to do today as well. We want to remind you that if you feel crushed, you're not alone. But there is hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. And God offers his grace to us. Look at that. I'm excited. I'm all over the place. And so in verse 2, he says this. These are the I am statements. I am pressed, feeling it. I'm perplexed. There are things that people say and write and do that make you perplexed, doesn't it? How could you think that? How could you do that? Where's the dignity there, right? He says, I am persecuted. Now, when he said persecuted, he wasn't like, you couldn't read the Bible in school persecuted. This was like being fed to lions and tigers and crucifixion on sides of road like billboards, thrown in jail, beaten. That's the persecution he's talking about. Struck down. And like literally struck down could be killed, right? That's what it could mean. He says, I am not. So he says, I am. These are the things I'm feeling. This is the weight I'm feeling from the fall of Genesis 3, right? I'm feeling these things, but he says, I am not. Look at the attitude adjustment. Only the Lord takes what we're going through and flips it upside down and says, this is the way you should look at your life. He says, I am not crushed. You're not crushed. I am not in despair. I feel like I'm in despair, but you're not in despair. I'm not forsaken. I felt forsaken many times, let me tell you. But God has never abandoned me. He's not. He has not abandoned me. And he says, I am not destroyed. You may feel like you're ruined, but God says, no, you're not. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you. And so he says, I am, and then he says, I am not. And maybe you could look on that screen behind me and say, okay, this is how I feel today. But make sure you see the I am not. You are not these things. God says, I am with you. It's because of my grace that you can endure what you're going through. What are the crushed moments that you're facing right now in your Christian faith? What are some of those moments that you're thinking? Just think about those right now and say, God, how am I going to get through this? What do you do? Like, seriously, what do you do as a Christian when life really does fall apart? When things go haywire, right? What do you really do? And so that's what we're asking, that question is, what do I do when I, you know, the thing is, we try to think that we're in control, and that's an illusion, isn't it? We don't have any control. We have some control to when to arrive on things and show up, but there's other things that are literally out of our control. And some of us are control freaks. And we can't control that. And so God is saying, hey, even though you're not in control, you have to still trust me. Maybe God is calling you today in that crushed moment that you're in. He's saying, would you let go of that control? Would you just let it go? Just let go and let me do my thing for my glory and to make you look more like Jesus. Maybe that's what he's calling you to do. I think about this when you think about what it means to be crushed. Have you had unanswered prayer? When you sent up a prayer to God and you prayed and you feel like it bounces off the ceiling like a beach ball. You ever felt that way? Whew, that's rough. They're not here today, so I'm going to share this. In 2006, my daughter Emma, we took her to get her checkup. And she was went to Children's Hospital, and they said, we're sorry to tell you this. We think that your daughter has autism. And I was like, what? Like, there's no way. It's just a developmental delay. Maybe that's it. And I felt crushed. Now, when I felt crushed, we're serving the Lord. We're working in your church. We're telling people about Jesus. I'm going on youth retreats. I felt crushed. And it wasn't just three times that I've prayed for my daughter's healing. It's been every day since 2006. Bounces off the ceiling. She's not healed. Do I think God can heal her? Absolutely. And that's why I continue to pray. But there are times, friends, church, when you're praying and you don't feel that God is there, he hears you. He hears you. He weeps with you. And I don't know why Emma has gone through this or why my family has gone through this, but I do know that God is with us. And his grace has sustained us since then. That do I have questions? I sure do. I sure do. It hurts. But I can tell you this, that I can keep going because of God's grace. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know if your prayers have just been bouncing off the ceiling. And I've talked to a lot of you, and I know a lot of your stories, and I know your prayers are not being answered either. But God hears us. God will sustain you. God is with you, and he will continue to give you his grace as a free gift. There's a lot of other things that we go through. It's just like anything else that I go through in my life, it's like, it's nothing compared to what I'm dealing with my daughter. I want her to be happy. I want her to grow. I want to walk my daughter down the aisle one day, and I don't know if that's going to happen. It might. So I have all these questions and doubts, and so when you feel crushed, it's okay to have those questions. God can handle that. But what I've learned when I'm feeling crushed is that when I'm looking all over the place and doctors are saying this and dietitians are telling me to eat this, I'm going to look to God and say, God, please heal my daughter. I'm going to continue on and serve the best I can in my weakness, because that's what it is. I'm a broken man. But I can only do what I do because I am broken, and I recognize that God is my strength. And that's what I would encourage you this morning, is that if you feel like your prayers aren't being answered and you do feel crushed, God wants you to, that's the place in the crushing, in the breaking, where he molds and shapes you. That's where it happens. Do you understand that? Don't waste that. Don't waste that. Don't waste that. That's an amazing opportunity for us to look to God and say, God, I need you. I am not crushed. I am not abandoned. And so listen, I know that we each have a story, and some of the stuff you've endured and some of the things you're going through, I am sorry. I really am. But I want to encourage you to keep going. Don't give up. Keep looking to Jesus. Don't look at people. Look at Jesus. Your politics won't save you. Like all these other things are not going to save you. It's going to be the grace of God that's going to be sufficient for you. That's it. And so as you're going through this, as you're feeling this, things in life happen. There's unknown things. There's unknown things that happen to us. Like out of nowhere. You weren't expecting this to happen, and this happens. My poor mother-in-law let me drive her car to go get her ice cream. I come back, and I hit it. Her garage door goes up and slams down. That was unknown. That didn't, like, it just happened. I'm like, come on, man. Unknown things are going to happen to us and frustrate you. Unexpected things, hurts, inflation. We're feeling it in our pocketbooks, in our budgets, right? We weren't expecting. There's unexpected things that are going to happen, unknown things, unexpected, unusual things happen. How could this possibly happen? Those are the things that, like, it only makes sense. Like, God, what are you trying to teach me? When those unusual things happen, lean in. Press in, open your heart to God, because he's trying to teach you something in that. There's unusual things and unprecedented things, like things we've never seen before. 2020, a pandemic, are you kidding me? That we're still feeling the effects of on different levels, maybe not as much, but just out of nowhere, the unprecedented things that happen to us. Like, what is going on? And so when we're feeling crushed, when life doesn't make sense, he calls us. Paul was saying that God is calling you. He's giving you a hope. He's giving you, if all these unknown things are happening, he's saying, hey, listen, look to me. My grace is sufficient for you. That's our big idea. Listen, our big idea normally has 3 points with the same letter, and they're attached to a scripture. Here's what our big idea is today. What does it mean that God's grace is sufficient for me? That's it. It's a question. It's a question. It's a soul-searching question. What does it mean that God's grace is sufficient for me? That God's grace is enough? Because there's times in your life, in your faith, that you want more. You want answers. You want justice. But we don't get it. And so we have to ask this question. Paul was asking this question to the Corinthians. He's saying, what does that look like? That God's grace is sufficient for us. I don't have an easy 3 steps points for you to follow. If you do these 3 things, it's all going to work out. Big smile. I don't have that, and I'm not going to pretend I do. But what I do have is I can point you to 2 Corinthians, and I can show you the life of Paul and how he responded to when he was crushed. And I can share from you my experience when I felt crushed. And you can think about your own experiences when you felt crushed and use scripture and say, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? So here's the thing that I want us to put in this big idea. Is God's grace sufficient enough for me? That we come to the point where we're bragging and boasting about how weak we are as individuals. Because that's where God shows up when you do that. When you're boasting and bragging and you're leaning into God and you're looking to God in those broken moments, that's when he shows up. It's not on these high-top moments, but it's in those broken things where he comes to you and he shows up. And so here's the thing. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn there. This is the context. Paul has written these 2 letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and he's writing in such a way that he's calling this church. He helped plant, and he hears more reports of the church. He sees and finds out there are people within the context of the church that are misbehaving. And so Paul writes this encouragement. There's a pastoral encouragement, right? He's encouraging them to straighten up. He's encouraging them to align their ways in life with the ways of God, to live in the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And then sometimes the matters grew worse, and he had to show up, or he had to pass it along to his spiritual son, Timothy, to do these things. And so, but the idea, the whole idea around the 1 and 2 Corinthians is he's trying to encourage them in the face of trials. He's trying to encourage them to live in such a way that they're not overblown by everything that's going on, that they can lean to Christ and understand who he is. So here we are, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, and so Paul right at the beginning, in this verse here, he had an experience with God, And only Paul could experience. God used him and showed him things and did things for him. And he could have used that thing and go, look what God did for me. And begin to flex, as the kids say. These kids still say that, Sly? I don't know. They do? Okay. They begin to brag. They begin to boast, right? Look what God did for me. But he says, no, this is what God did to him instead. It says, even though I received such a wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud. And some of us, we need to take the, listen to that. Some of us are becoming proud, spiritually arrogant, right? Or that we think we've arrived. He says, to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Now, it's just so you, he didn't like fall in some jaggers, as we say here in Pittsburgh, right? He didn't fall in a thorn bush, but this is a metaphor, right? There was this spiritual thorn that he had to deal with. Some say it was a physical ailment, like his eyesight. I've heard other pastors go, it was pride. I've heard other pastors say it was lust. I've heard a bunch of other different things, but more so, we don't know. And Paul didn't brag on that. He just said, I have a thorn in my flesh. And I prayed, and it says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Look what he says in verse 8. Three times I begged to the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. In other words, my grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's when I take pleasure in my weaknesses. See, that's plural, weaknesses, more than one. In the result, in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the troubles, that sounds like my weak, that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. When I am weak, I am strong. And so well, that's what Paul was trying to say here, is that as you're going through these different things, he's telling this church, these are the things you should boast in. Not in your position, not in spiritual things, but you should boast in the fact that you're weak. And when you boast in that, you are strong. In verse 7, it says proud. What does that mean to be proud, right? It's proud is to exalt yourself over God. And so when someone is proud like that, you know, that's not like a proud father. That's different. This is a spiritual nature that you're exalting yourself and not God. You're putting yourself on the throne of your life and not God. And so that's what it means to be proud. And so he was given this this thorn in his flesh to humble him. To humble him. And so Paul was an educated man. He had seen amazing things and done amazing things in the name of the Lord. But then there was this thing that he had to deal with. And you see how many times he prayed for it? Three times he prayed for this to be removed. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? That he too prayed that God would take that cup from him. And God didn't. He still had it there. And so for us, there's this idea that we have to deal with this this pride in our lives. We have to deal with the pride in our lives. What I also love here in verse 7, this thorn. Thorns. We think about what are thorns. Thorns could be small. They could be those little small thorns that we get, but they can be very big. I went to Haiti one time, and I was walking through a parking lot, and they had these bushes. I have to talk to the realtor about it, what kind it was, but there was a type of thorn that I walked in dress shoes, hard-sole dress shoes. That thorn went all the way up through my sole. I stepped on it. I felt like, man, it hurt. So there are different types of thorns that we go through. Some are like magnificent and difficult and complex, and we can't understand it. But then there are other thorns that you and I go through that are massive, and some are small. So we have to identify those things. Like, there are different things that God uses these things to help us deal with the thorns and the pride in our issue, in our lives, and the issues in our lives. What I don't know what your thorn is right now. Maybe think, what is it? What is, you ask that question, what is the thorn in my life? What is the thing you continually pray for that God would remove, but he doesn't? And so maybe that thing, friends, is God is saying, I want you to know that you have this thorn, but I also want you to know even more so that my grace is sufficient for you. My grace will help you deal with those things. And so my thorn, obviously, I can say this, you know, is this diagnosis my daughter has received. And I deal with it on a daily basis, and I continually to pray. But God's grace has got me through all of this. It continues to push me through. Over and over, God, in 1 Peter 5, it says God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so the ways of God, when he sees pride, he doesn't like that. And so he's calling us to be humble. So usually you'll see, when you see pride, you'll often see humble attached to that. What caused Satan to fall was pride, right? What caused the Adam and Eve to, the garden, the Genesis 3 account? There was pride there. And so God is saying, humble yourselves. Come to me, find me, and you will find rest for your souls. When I think about, I went on Ocean City this past summer. There was a little cove there. There were these like sharp rocks when the water was just still. And I walked over there and I hit it with, had my shoes off walking in there. And the rocks were so sharp, right? The waters weren't stirred, the waters weren't touched, and those were the sharpest rocks. But if you go out further into the ocean and you see some of these other rocks, they're polished because the waves continually beat on them over and over again. So God can use the waves and the things that you and I go through to sharpen us, to polish us if we will let him. Instead of fighting against it, if we say, okay, God, I'm going to submit to you, can do whatever you want to, as we sang. But he wants to use those thorns to polish you. And that's tough. That's a tough thing. I get it. I'm right with you. But I'm just telling you what Scripture says. And I'm telling you from my experiences that God wants to polish us to make us look more like him. Are you fighting against that right now? I want to encourage you. Like, just ask God. Say, Holy Spirit, illuminate me. How do you want me to look more like your son? That he was buffeted, right? Sometimes when we think of that word buffeted in verse 7, or torment, it means a strike. A lot of times when we go through our difficulties, we white knuckle it, right? We're just kind of gritting through it. We bear down and we go through it anyway. But he does not want us. He wants us to continue to walk in his ways. Did you feel continually beaten over and over again by life? He's saying, don't feel that way. Just continue to be sufficient. Look to me for sufficiency. My grace is sufficient for you. Look at verse 8. It says three times. And what I loved about this is what Paul thought disqualified him. What he thought, Lord, would you please take these things? This is what makes me weak. And God says, no. That's the very thing that makes you strong. That's the very thing that makes you rely on me. And so what we think disqualifies us actually qualifies us to be sons and daughters. So those things, those troubles, those pains you're going through, those are the things that qualify you to walk in the ways of God. And so you have those crushed moments. What's your response? What do you do in those crushed moments? Do you become bitter and blame God? I know I have. Do you give up? Have you been to that point where you're just, I'm ready to give up? There was a point when I was a youth pastor, I said, I don't know if I have 17 years of youth ministry. I was like, I think I've had enough. I went to Duquesne Law School for like 1 year. I was like, I'm going to go back into ministry. God was calling me. I was ready to give up. I've been there. And so God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't give up. Keep going, saint. Keep going. Right? Don't white knuckle it in enduring, but realize that God's grace is this gift that's given to us. It's there to us. See, God is not confused, right? When you're confused, God is not confused, right? When you're confused about your job, your situation, your health, why are these things happening? God is not confused by that, and God can take that. But God is trying to have you rely on him and to know his grace is sufficient for you. And so in times of uncertainty, there are a lot of uncertainty that we go through in life. Look for what is clear. When you're going through things that are uncertain in your Christian faith and you're going through those thorn moments or those crushed moments, look for what is clear. What is clear? The Word of God, His Spirit, right? What others are going to say to you, maybe in your connection group or your pastor, whatever it is, that you receive these things from God. Focus on what is clear in times of uncertainty. In verse 9, it says this, each time God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. We're not raised in a culture that says that. You have to be strong. You have to dominate. You have to monopolize everything that you do. But God says, no, this is how you do it. It says, my power works best in weakness. Man, I hate admitting when I'm wrong. I hate to admit that I have weaknesses. I really do. But here's the thing, like the more I can focus on that I do have weaknesses, I'm able to rely on God's strength. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So we can either do this. There's a tension here. That when we're going through this crushed moment, we can believe Satan's message. The enemy of our souls is going to say, you need to give up. You need to give up. It's just not working. You don't have what it takes. You're not enough. That's the enemy of our souls. That's what he would say to us. Where we have Jesus, and Paul reminding the church in Corinth is reminding us today, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. It doesn't feel, it's enough. I know it's hard, but keep going. Don't give up. Which one will you listen to? The message of the enemy of your souls or the message of the one who went to the cross for you? And so we think about what grace is. What is grace? Grace is that unmerited favor, the unearned supernatural ability, undeserved blessing from God. It's this free gift from heaven that gives us, offers us forgiveness. It empowers us. Grace is what empowers us to live for him. In every situation, every circumstance, every crushed moment, every mountaintop moment, that's what God's grace is there. It's a grace we don't deserve, but he freely gave it anyway. But will you receive that? And so grace becomes our empowerment to achieve and to continue to walk through what we're going through right now. Embrace the grace of God in your life. Say, recognize, will you be able to admit that to God? I am weak. I am broken. I need you. I can't do this in my own strength. I need your grace. I received that free gift. He wants to give it to you. And so when you do that, you have to realize that's all you need. That's all you'll need in your life to do that. You'll need to have God's grace in your life working in itself out to you. In verse 9, it talks about the red letters, words of Christ that are so important here. It says, what are you hearing from God? What are you hearing from God when you're going through this crushed moment? And your crushed moment might be so loud that you're like, I can't hear from God. But I want to encourage you, when you're in those crushed moments, the Bible says in Psalm 37 and 46 to be still. And so listen to God. Listen, be still and listen to him. What are you hearing from God? Because when you hear that from God, you can focus on him. When you're not focusing God, you're listening to all the other noise and everything else in the world that's going to just tell you lies. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you. God has wants you to focus on him in your weakness. What are you seeing in your brokenness that you're going through? What are you seeing? So what you focus on will determine your destination. What you focus on in your brokenness and your crushed moments will determine where you end up. And so this is not the response that Paul was hoping for. This is not the response that I'm hoping for. Do you know what the response that I want? That my daughter's going to be okay. Will my daughter be okay? Absolutely, but not in the way I want. God had a different plan for her, and I'm okay with that now. I wish it was different. Do you think Paul wanted those thorns removed? Absolutely, but he's okay. He's saying this is all you need. God's grace is all you need. And so wherever you are today, as you're wrestling with your crushed moments, I want to point you back to God's grace. It's sufficient for you. It's not a Christian cliche. It's not trite Christian language, but it is the truth. It is the very word of God that will set you free. Because when we go through crushed moments, we can become go in the vortex of blaming and victimization and all of these other dark things. But when we realize that we're broken, and maybe, just maybe, God is going to use this thorn to bless you and shape you to look more like Jesus. But you have to be willing to let him do those things in your life. And so we really don't believe his grace is sufficient for us until we believe we are insufficient. Right? Until we recognize that what we do is insufficient. We can't do it in our own strength. When we realize that, we're stuck in our ways, that we can't do it on our own, that God is sufficient enough, then we're able to move forward. Then we're able to make sense. Then we're able to have some more healing that happens in our lives. And so every time we have a conflict with where we are and who God is and the crushed moments that we have, we feel confused. But here's the thing. This is an invitation. This is the thing. When you have those crushed moments, when you're in that moment, you're just asking questions and you're, why is this happening? God is inviting you to a deeper trust in him. When you're going through crushed moments, it's those moments that God is inviting you to a deeper trust in him. Maybe that's where it is there. Maybe that's why you're going through what you're going through, is a deeper trust. I know it was for me. I had to trust God in those moments with my daughter, with my wife, with my son. God, you've got to make sense of this. You've got to do something in this. And so when we have these conflicts, that's that invitation. I hope you see that is an invitation that God wants to have a deeper relationship with you.
If you see it that way, it's a perspective shift off of why do these things happen to me? Or you're the victim. God says, that's not you, right? That my grace is sufficient for you. That's what it means. God's grace is sufficient. God is showing me something deeper about himself when we're going through that. He's revealing his character. He's revealing the ways of God to me. That's what we're going through. When we're going through those things, we're saying, God, who are you? What are you like? What do you have for me? And so as we looked at God the Father who doesn't want to discipline his kids but has to for their betterment. That's the way we have to see that. And so what is God teaching me about himself? That he's an everlasting God who has an enduring love forever and ever. That we see this about who God is. That his grace is sufficient for us. When we ask that question, is God's grace sufficient for you? That's what matters. Your answer to that question is what matters the most. If you can say yes with a clear conscience, even though it hurts, you're moving forward. But if you're not friends, it's okay. God can handle that as well. He wants you to rely on him. I know my Chevy Traverse, it was crazy. The battery just shut off. It was just shut off. Every time I had to get in my car, I'd have to take the battery terminal off. And I called AAA and they said, you have to take this wire brush and kind of scrape off the particles that are on the battery. And sometimes we've got to do that. We've got to clean off. Once I cleaned that off, I was able to hook the battery up. It ran fine until the transmission went. That's another story. But listen, sometimes we have to examine our hearts, like a battery, right? Maybe there's something in our heart, in our mind, that we got to clean off and submit. Like, this is stinking thinking. Like, this isn't the truth of who I am or who God is. And sometimes we need to get that brush and scrub it off of our souls and rely on God. So here's the thing. Again, you're going through crushed moments. And maybe those crushed moments, friends, is an invitation for you to know who God is, to go deeper in your faith. Do you want that this morning? So what is happening to you? What are you seeing? And what is God teaching you about himself? I want to read this to you. When you think about Paul and you think about his life and how he endured and what he demonstrated to so many people, I want to read this to you. Listen to his resume, if you will, his resume. And think about it with your life, what you're going through right now. Listen to what Paul went through. This is 2 Corinthians 11, 23b through 30. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Here's what it says. I have worked harder, been in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and it's not the stone you're thinking about. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. Think about that. That would freak me out. Verse 26, I traveled on my long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, and I have faced danger in the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. Interesting. I have worked hard and long in enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. And I have shivered in the cold and without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me feeling that weakness? Excuse me, who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray? I do not burn with anger. For if I must boast, if I must brag, I would rather boast about the things that show how I am weak. So he endured all of that, went through all of that. He wasn't just putting his pain resume out there, but he put that out there to show that God's grace was sufficient for him and in him through all that stuff. It was in his weakness. I don't know what your pain resume looks like, but I pray that you can say at the end, as Paul did, I would rather boast about the things that show how I am weak. Because when we admit that we're weak, it is God who is strong. It's his grace that sustains us. I invite you to stand. I just want to pray for you in this moment. This is kind of a different response. That maybe some of you here today are going through a crushed moment. That you're going through a very thorn, you have a couple thorns that you're dealing with in your life. And I just want to pray for you right now. That you have a lot of questions, a lot of frustration, a lot of anger. And maybe you're going through that right now. And I just want to pray for you. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are going through difficulties, that are going through crushing moments, that have gone through crushing moments, or anticipate something in the future. Father, will you help them to look at those painful times as not things that you're trying to break them or crush them or destroy them, but you're calling them to a deeper relationship with you. You're calling us as a family here at Brighton Heights to a deeper relationship with you, to polish us, to walk in your ways, to look more like Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are dealing with this right now, Lord, that they would surrender those thorns to you, those fears, those anxieties, and, Lord, they would pick up and embrace that when they are weak, you are strong, that your grace is sufficient and is all they need. May you just implant that. Your Holy Spirit fall fresh upon us right now. A perspective shift right now, Lord, that we would receive your grace in our lives, this free gift that you give, that it's all we need. But when I'm ready or when I have time or when this thing lines up, no. Help us to get rid of that stinking thinking, Lord, and replace it with the thought, the truth, your word, that your grace is sufficient for us. And so, Father, I pray that and declare that over this church family and all who hear this right now. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You can do this. God's grace is sufficient.
Man, you can be seated for a moment.